Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Talk, why won't you listen? Argue, why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
And yes, it is Karen Cataline. And good afternoon to Spouting Off. Glad you could join us. It's Tuesday, March 27th, 2018. And, this is our 26th show. That means we have 25 shows, as they say in broadcast land, in the can. I think that's pretty cool. And you can listen to any one of or all, if you really want to binge listen to all 25 shows, at my website, www.karencataline.com. And you probably know how to spell my name or you wouldn't have found me. The last name is spelled Cataline. And when we're done with this show, number 26, it'll be in the can too, and it will be on my website. It will also be at BBS Radio. They have a complete archive there as well, so you can access them. We're trying to get descriptions of the shows a little bit more up to speed so you know what they're about. But they're usually very timely to the news of the time that the date exhibits. Did that make any sense? And when I look back on some of those shows, it's interesting. During the Olympics, I was talking about the Olympics, during whatever it was. And it's kind of a nice little historic look back on the news stories and how they have progressed. And this show is not going to be any different because we got a lot going on. I mean, a lot going on. But before I get to that, I actually have a joke. Are you ready? Well, you better, because I'm gonna tell you this joke. Actually, I'm gonna read it because I thought it was so cute, and my partner, who happens to be male, handed it to me, and I said, "Yeah, I'm gonna read that on the air." A union boss walks into a bar and is about to order a beer when he sees a guy at the far end of the bar wearing a Make America Great cap with two beers sitting in front of him. The union boss doesn't need to be an Einstein to know that the guy is a Republican. So he shouts so loudly to the bartender that all the patrons can hear, "Drinks for everyone in here, bartender, but not for the blankety blank Republican." After every patron is served, the Republican waves at the guy and gives him a big smile and says in an equally loud voice, "Thank you." This infuriates the union boss. After a few minutes, the union boss orders another round of drinks for everyone except the Republican, using the same loud voice. Once again, the Republican waves and smiles and yells, "Thank you." Now the union boss is really irate and orders a third round of drinks for everyone except the Republican. Just as before, the Republican is unfazed and even seems happy. He smiles and yells at the union boss, "Thank you, sir. You are a very generous man." The frustrated union boss leans forward and asks the bartender, "What is wrong with the dim-witted Republican? I've ordered three rounds of drinks for everyone in the bar but him, and all the dummy does is smile and thanks me. Is he nuts?" "Nope," replies the bartender. "He's the owner of the place." I have to kind of put the humor in because I don't know if you're laughing or not. Another thing that's going on this week, March 27th, is Passover and Easter. So if you are celebrating Passover or Easter, I hope that you have a marvelous and wonderful Passover and Easter. I have developed the moniker of putting the Judeo in Judeo-Christian. So Passover and Easter connotes the Judeo-Christian roots of our country, and which then connotes our Western civilization. Yes, our Western civilization. And there's nothing wrong with being proud of it. We don't require everybody to hold our values or our sensibilities, but it's really nice when we feel proud of our own. So, phone number if you'd like to join me. I haven't told you what we're talking about yet, but you'll find out soon enough. Is toll-free 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. You can call direct, but the 88, but you probably have a cell phone that'll let you call free either way. But that number is 323-744-4831. It's always more fun when you join in, but you never know. Gives me more time to spout off. So, first item on our list, Stormy. I should have given Doug stormy weather, but I don't really think it's going to be such a stormy weather. I guess we'll find out. I have a few thoughts on Stormy Daniels, the interview. It seems to have given ratings to 60 Minutes, the likes of which they've never seen for ages. About the only time people were watching 60 Minutes before was when they forgot to turn the TV off after a football game in the winter. So it certainly made CBS happy. And the salaciousness of this story cannot be underestimated. It's amazing what situational ethics and selective outrage the left has. If it is a consensual one night, not even a night, but a sexual encounter in which it's consensual, but it's with a Republican, they lose their lunch. They lose their cookies. They go crazy. They can't stand it that that actually happens. After all, these are the people who gave us Sex in the City, trashed our culture, told everybody and taught everybody that anything goes in America. Women can have sex like men and all is okay. But now suddenly they're freaking out over Stormy Daniels. Now, if you've listened to my show for any length of time, you know that I never just take things at face value. I never just say, well, they're outraged now. And they're getting a clue. No. It's purely for politics, completely, totally, and utterly about politics. Now, I'm going to tell you the punchline of what I think before I actually explain it. That's what guys like you to do. They like you to get to the bottom line before you explain. So here's the bottom line. The left, the liberals, the socialist progressive left is after the women's vote. And in a little bit, you'll hear how they're after all young people, too, because that's going to be the next thing on my list. So women generally and traditionally vote more Democrat than men. It's a pretty well-known fact. If you add that woman is single or a single mother, or she's living in suburbia, or even in urbia, that means urban to you and me, then her chances of voting Democrat are much, much higher. You may remember when Hillary Clinton was not unhappy to insult an entire group of people who happened to be white married women. She said that white married women only vote Republican and only voted for Trump and not for her because they were doing as their husbands told them to do. So it's amazing how liberals can insult the very people they've claimed to be champions of in a moment's notice. It's extraordinary. But getting back to Stormy Daniels, so that's who they're after. They're after the women's vote. And I submit to you that the so-called Me Too movement, which is becoming more and more outrageous, offensive, extreme, and insane by the day, by the week, there is so much wrong with this movement, I can't even begin to tell you. And I hope that I'll have time to get into that, which I'm planning on it. That is to separate out men from women. After all, they do need a new victim group, don't they? They're running out of letters in the alphabet from LGBTQ, RS, TUV. Now I know my politically correct ABCs. You know, the T in transvestite or transsexual, I mean, what are there, seven? Seven in every county? Now, I know that they're trying to create more, and they're trying to create lots and lots of sexual identity crises and allowing five-year-olds to have gender reassignment surgery, which I think is outrageous, and child abuse. I don't deny for one minute that there are some anomalies, people that are born maybe with a third chromosome or a confused set of chromosomes, but that's exceptionally rare. What we have today is the attempt to make yet another victim group of transgender people. And since that's not a very big group, well, you've got women. Not only are they a majority in this country, but they tend to vote Democrat. So if they can drive a wedge between men and women, they're going to do it. They're going to do it. And I submit to you that's exactly what they're doing with the Me Too movement. I guess I've moved on to this, but I didn't mean to. I'll just get this in because I'm afraid I'll forget. The Me Too movement is an exact contradiction from what the 70s taught us. The 70s taught us one thing. They're teaching us something else. What are the 70s? And I grew up, I was sort of coming of age in the 70s, I guess you could say, in pre-adolescence. And what were they all teaching women back then? Doug, let her rip. So I am woman, hear me roar. That's what we were all taught. We could have sex like a man. We could be Navy SEALs like a man. We dressed like men. We didn't need men because, after all, we were men. That was the message. Not only that, but if we really wanted a man at all, it was best to have an Alan Alda type of man, like a real kind of squishy, emotionally soft, sweet, kind, feminist type of man. Today, you might call him a pajama boy, somebody who isn't very strong, doesn't know how to change a tire, talks in lots of left-wing platitudes, and generally is kind of an emasculated man. And if you have a lot of gay, if you're a fag hag, and that is a term that used to be back then, today you can't even use that term. If you were a woman who had lots of gay friends but no dates, that was also very good because you could be both man and woman. I'm telling you, we were sold a bill of goods because now we're getting the exact opposite message. I had the pleasure of interviewing the great Larry Elder yesterday. He is a syndicated talk show host, attorney, has his own show. He's been doing talk radio forever. Great. You know, he's just sharp as a tack. And he used to use some things from Blazing Saddles, things that would introduce him like, excuse me while I whip this out, and other wonderful things from Blazing Saddles. And we agreed that you could not possibly make that movie today. And Blazing Saddles was a criticism of racism. And yet, because they made fun of everybody, every group, you couldn't possibly make that movie today because people are so overly sensitive. So one of the things I love about Larry Elder is that he likes to point out hypocrisies of things. This is hypocritical. That's hypocritical. And here's the one of the one of many giant hypocrisies, which is that in the 70s, it was I am woman, hear me roar. And now it is women are such victims and they're so pathetic and they're such hothouse flowers that they can't speak up when they were when some man was sexually inappropriate to her, or he sent her a suggestive text. She keeps it for 30 years until there's a Me Too movement. And then she comes out, she says Me Too, and he gets fired from his job. That's pretty much what you got today. So here's the counterpart in 2018 of I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar. Take it away, Doug.
She's only a bird. Sight to see.
You may think I'm happy and free from care. I'm not, though I seem to be. 'Tis sad when you think of my wasted life, for youth cannot mate with age.
Yes, her beauty was sold for an old man's gold.
Can you believe that? This is what the left does. The reason I brought up Larry Elder is because after Larry Elder, thank you, Doug, after Larry Elder got through pointing out about three or four hypocrisies that are just breathtaking and make some of us on the conservative side go, you've got to be kidding. You can't make this stuff up. I said, Larry, and he said, what? I said, the problem is, and I say that to you, the liberals don't care about hypocrisy. Hypocrisy doesn't matter to them, you see, because if they make an about face, an upside down, a change in policy, since their policies are whatever they feel, it doesn't matter. It's only conservatives to whom hypocrisy matters, because to us, and I hate to speak for all of you, but I'm going to, hypocrisy is something that's intellectually dishonest. It means how do you have a moral compass or have moral high ground when you're contradicting yourself right away? Okay? But that's what we're being confronted with. So back to Stormy Daniels, which is all a part of trying to get the women's vote, trying to get married women to hate Donald Trump. Oh, yes. And to separate Christians from Trump's base. That's what it's about. They even plant callers to call talk radio programs. I've heard them before. And they say, well, I'm a Christian, but it bothers me about Trump's personal morality. Now, they're trying to get Christians to say it bothers them too. When Christians most generally say, you know what? I wasn't electing a pastor. I was electing a president. Here's another question about Stormy Daniels, and then we're going to go to a break in just a minute. So it was said, I didn't hear it, but somebody mentioned it to me, that people asked the interviewer, the guy from 180, whatever his name is, the strange-looking fellow who interviewed her, said, why are you coming forth now? Why are you doing it now? And the answer she gave was that she didn't like his views on abortion and gay rights. I thought this was extremely telling. So she's willing to keep his secrets so long as he agrees with her politics. Who's strong-arming who? You know, Stormy Daniels is saying, you know, as long as you take my views of abortion, I won't come forward with damaging and embarrassing information. Do they really care whether they hurt anybody? This is proof positive of how bribery works. This is how it works, ladies and gentlemen. What we always expected. Do as I say, and I won't out you. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, I'll continue with the so-called March for Our Lives March, which I like to call Days of Our Lives March. This is Spouting Off, and you're listening to Karen Cataline here on BBS Radio Station 1, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Jordan, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is President of Hillsdale College, Dr. Larry Arne, on the Legislative Vesting Clause of the Constitution.
Article 1, Section 1 of the Constitution states, "All legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States." To the founders, legislative power was the power to make laws that apply to all alike, that are clear and easy to understand. The Constitution says all legislative powers, and that means Congress cannot rightfully delegate these powers to some other body. Today, our laws are thousands of pages long. Sometimes rules are tens of thousands, and no one can read them. Congress has abdicated its legislative power to unelected bureaucrats in countless executive agencies. This is a violation of Article 1, Section 1 of the Constitution.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket Constitution and Declaration, go to constitutionminute.com.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askauntemma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askauntemma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Oh, I couldn't wait to get back to the microphone to continue to talk about the issues of the day. You're welcome to join us. One more point about Stormy Daniels. I know there's a lot out there about her. The media's gone absolutely bonkers on this story. It is astounding. Basically, what you have is a desire to break up Trump's family for no particular purpose. I mean, I could go on and on about this, but there's more important fish to fry. The one point that I wanted to still make was this. She admitted in this interview that she wasn't attracted to him. She admitted in this interview that she didn't want to have sex with him, but then she did it anyway. And she also, I have to give her credit, said she wasn't a victim. Now, the leftist women are working hard to make her into a victim, even if she doesn't want to be one. Doesn't that make her a victim of them? Think about it. Anyway, why would she sleep with him when she didn't want to, when she wasn't attracted to him? She was in her 20s. He was 60. What's going on? Well, this is a perfect example of how women prostitute themselves for money and favors and recognition. And because the left is, sadly to say, starting to succeed in turning women into women in gilded cages all over again, hothouse flowers who simply are too delicate to, yes, I did, Doug. I'm getting distracted. So women are too delicate to speak up for themselves, and they're now a victim. We are not allowed to ask questions or to criticize the accuser. That is key. And you have to remember that in their status, in their tactics. This is what the left does. They create victim groups, not only who will vote for them, but who are unassailable. You cannot ask them any questions, no matter how insane their arguments are. And we're going to get to a really insane argument in just a minute about that very thing. So why are we not allowed to ask ourselves, well, here's a porn queen, a porno actress who we are supposed to believe, we don't know why she slept with him, but you see, you and I do know. She wants us to think that we don't know. It's because he was Donald Trump and she was attracted to his power, his money, his position, and his ability to do something for her. So isn't she a prostitute? I mean, there's lots of ways women prostitute themselves. And this is the question. Adult women are confronted with this choice every day. What am I willing to do for what? It happens in Hollywood with all of the Hollywood, and I've covered this before, about how we're not allowed to ask the question, why did the little starlet go up to Harvey Weinstein's room? She went up there because she thought she was going to get a part. This is what's been happening in Hollywood from time immemorial, and most people know it. Does that mean it's right? Heck no. But does it mean that she's entitled to a part without sleeping with him? No. She's entitled to make a choice. He's a slime ball in this case, and she gets to choose. There's an enormous difference between consensual and not consensual. When a woman prostitutes herself, she is consenting to be a prostitute. Does that make me hard, cold, and cruel? No. That makes me telling the truth. Unfortunately, even conservative men are becoming bullied and intellectually, well, bullied into being critical of women because they're afraid of being called sexist. Just as we all were in asking some very, very obvious questions about our former president. And we were told that if we challenged or questioned him in any way, shape, or form, we were a racist. Now men are being bullied in much the same way, and a good many conservative men are not getting it. They are not wise to this game. Even though we've seen this game again and again and again, still we see men who fall for the game. So, what other little game is going on out there by the left? Well, the day after Donald Trump was inaugurated, you had what has now become the affectionately known as the Pussy Hat March. Now, this past weekend, we've had about the third now walkout protest, supposedly by kids, and it's called the March for Our Lives. Now, pardon me, I know I'm being totally irreverent here by calling it the Days of Our Lives March, but that's what it is. Because once again, these kids are not allowed to be questioned or challenged in any way. And this is a comment on the cultural shift that we're watching in this country, is that you've got children being thrown out into the public square, acting like, behaving like adults. And I have told you that I have written a book about this. Now, you wouldn't think so by the title, but the title is called Fatlash Food Police and the Fear of Thin. You can get it on Amazon and on my website, KarenCataline.com. It is a memoir and a social commentary about kids who were put in child beauty pageants and what some kids end up doing about it unconsciously. In my case, I was put in child beauty pageants. I was also put on the stage when I was like 3 years old. Maybe that's one of the reasons I'm not uncomfortable doing a show every week. I used to make my living as a musical comedy actress. But here's the thing. When you thrust little kids, this is in this case, little kids, not high school kids, into adulthood too soon, it is very, very damaging. It's damaging to the child because they're not allowed to grow emotionally and go through all the stages that kids go through in order to grow up. And you're also, every time an adult defers responsibility onto a kid, that adult becomes more and more childlike. And what you get is kind of a role reversal. I'm working on a supposition here, and that is that adults are being encouraged to behave like children, as in women behaving like five-year-olds instead of adults when they are confronted with sexual harassment, even if it is sexual harassment, or if a guy misbehaves, she holds on to it for 30 years and then suddenly comes forward and says, I was victimized. And yet we have children that are being thrust into adulthood by being treated as if they are the greatest, most wise pundits of all time, like in this anti-gun rally. And we need more than hope that the general public is going to see through this, because it works. It really does work. This is orchestrated demagoguery. Is that a lot of syllables there? It's orchestrated demagoguery. They drum up emotion for the sake of an agenda, and the kids don't even understand it. Now, what concerns me, as I said, is that this is effective. And adults sanction their own irresponsibility by thrusting the kids forward and trotting them out like little show ponies. Now, Republicans have been criticized quite a lot for being told that, well, you're disrespecting these kids. You're disrespecting them because they have a point of view and they have a right to their First Amendment rights. Well, as an aside, why do they have their rights to their First Amendment rights when they're doing everything they can to take away our Second Amendment rights? But that aside, they're telling us how awful it is that we're saying that they're being used as pawns. Here's my point. People who point out that kids underage, kids that supposedly are grieving for their classmates, are being thrust out into the public and flown around on private jets by the Patriots owner. Yes, that really happened. That, in fact, if you're complaining that those kids are being used as pawns, you care about those kids more, not less. You worry that one day that kid will have to write a book just like mine, which is, you know what? I didn't know what I was doing. I was trying to please my mother. Now, the kids that are out there today are some very arrogant, very, very questionable kids who are not being asked anything about the logic of what they're proposing. They're taking a complex issue and attempting to boil it down to let's just take away people's guns. They're ignoring enormous glaring facts in the case and inviting people to think simplistically along with them. They're inviting their fellow classmates into the very kind of peer pressure that supposedly we used to tell them not to pay attention to. But boy, when it's for politics, it's really okay. And in fact, people that disagree with them on gun control, people who actually think that's a bad idea to take away their rights and the rights of their parents and families to defend themselves from any kind of tyranny, be it an individual or a group or a government, they were not welcome at that rally. I got news for you. They were not welcome. There is exaggeration. There's hysteria. They're emotionally out of control. You know, I wanted to send my producer, Doug, some sound of David Hogg, the new darling of the left, a day or two before the rally. I don't think it was a video that he wanted to be out there, but in fact, it went viral. It was a incredibly filled with language, you know, foul language, just disgusting. And among the things he said were, our parents don't know how to use an effing democracy, so we have to. And there was much more. Hogg said, what type of person, and there's an expletive, does that? Wants to sell guns and murder more children. And honestly, just to get reelected. Is that accurate? Do gun sellers want to murder children? And he's not being challenged on any of this. He continues, they could have blood from children splattered all over their faces and they wouldn't take action because all they see is dollar signs. Is that the most demagogic, most ridiculous statement? And he continues and contradicts himself when he says, honestly, it's all right that people are buying more guns. Well, guess what? I read an article that said that he is the biggest gun seller since Obama. Memberships to the NRA and gun sales are going through the roof because of his little self. So I don't know, is he going to accuse himself of murdering more kids? Here's his contradiction. I just care that they're being safe individuals and they can practice their Second Amendment rights all they want. Well, thank you, David Hogg. We're so happy that you're willing to allow us to practice our Second Amendment rights. Guess what? The government doesn't give us those rights. Those rights are natural rights. God-given rights, God forbid you should use that word, God-given rights meaning that they don't come from the government. They come from just being human and having a right to defend yourself. So he says, I don't give an F about that. I just want to make sure that a crazy ass individual doesn't get an AR-15 or any weapon at all, Hogg said about guns. First of all, dear David Hogg probably doesn't know what an AR-15 is. He probably doesn't know the difference between a semi-automatic and an automatic rifle. And I've seen lots and lots of videos about that very thing. They have no clue what they're talking about. But furthermore, they see no problem with being arrogant and ignorant, a very bad combination, and telling everybody else what to do. It's really stunning. I'm going to take a break, gather my thoughts, and I'm going to continue with this a little bit. And then we're going to move on to the Me Too movement because, believe it or not, there are some connections there. You're not going to believe it, but there are. So we're not done with David Hogg and all the rest of it. I've got a stack of stuff you wouldn't believe, and I'm not going to get to all of it. But I do intend to make my point about how we cannot afford for these people to be out there unchallenged. We will challenge them because they need to be challenged. They're inviting people to think, to be intellectually lazy, not to question, not to ask, not to take personal responsibility. I know what I was going to say, and then we'll take a break. What I was going to say was that David Hogg is saying what he really cares about, is that a crazy-ass person doesn't get a gun. Think about what he's not saying. Think about what this whole gun march, anti-gun march, did not ever say. What they don't say speaks much more loudly than what they do say. What was that? That everything he's depending on that would have saved actual lives at Parkland high school, failed everything. So think about that. We'll come right back. We're going to have a moment of reason with Dr. Martina Cartwright right now.
Hello, America. This is Dr. Martina Cartwright with A Moment of Reason. Liberty. Liberty is a state of being free from oppressive restrictions imposed by authority on one's way of life, behavior, or political views. It is said that we as humans are the only animals with free will, and with freedom comes responsibility. Today, however, despite so much perceived freedom, many are feeling constrained by outside forces that limit personal decision-making and free speech. Solid societies are founded on the basis of rules that respect an individual's freedom of choice while being mindful and respectful of diversity of opinion and thought. Relationships often thrive when two people can disagree, yet respect each other's opinions without contempt or fear of being unaccepted. Experiences make an individual who they are, with each possessing their own thoughts, feelings, beliefs, and views. And the human experience shapes the will and choices. The degree of conformity is formed, however, through decision or circumstance. So many people today strive to escape conformity and rebel. But ironically, rebellion has led to a different kind of conformity, that of dependency, groupthink, overregulation, name-calling, and lack of critical thinking skills. To see an example, look no further than last weekend's march blaming the NRA for recent school shootings. We all agree that school shootings are tragic, but more laws and regulations won't prevent such tragedies from occurring again. Our nation was founded by a group of rebels seeking to escape suppression of thought and action. Strong, courageous, and resourceful, these individuals chose to revel in a society that relished independence and rejected tyranny. History has demonstrated that tyranny gains a foothold when society welcomes centralized power, where individuals become victims instead of participants, and when poor life decisions are rewarded without consequences. For us to succeed as a nation, we must strive to become more self-sufficient and individually responsible rather than looking to the government to fix all of our woes. I, for one, believe the suppression of individual liberty sabotages the journey of the human soul. This has been A Moment of Reason with Dr. Martina Cartwright, your common sense professor. And now back to the show.
Thank you, Professor Cartwright. Boy, great minds are on the same page. I love to hear what she has every week or whenever. It might be a periodic specialty. We don't know yet. Hey, we're flying by the seat of our pants here. This is the 26th show of Spouting Off. Couple more thoughts about guns before I move on. So David Hogg is one of the most obnoxious high school kids, if in fact he is. I don't really know. There's all kinds of stuff on the internet about him, but there is an arrogance that is really off-putting. So when the left puts out somebody who's a complete embarrassment, I say, keep talking. You know, it's helping us. It is helping NRA memberships because people realize that their rights are at risk. I just want to point out, I saw this piece, very brief, that said that Patriots owner Bob Kraft explains why he didn't hesitate to lend his plane for the March for Our Lives rally. And at the bottom of his piece, there's a quote that says, "Never believe that a few caring people can't change the world, for indeed that's all who ever have." You see what he's saying there? He's saying that if you don't believe in gun control, taking away the right of self-defense of law-abiding citizens who did nothing. Remember, they did absolutely nothing to cause this tragedy, this horror, this mass murder in Florida. They weren't able to save those kids. There were people who were able and did not do their job. But the law-abiding citizens and the NRA are under attack. Why? Because this is a purely 100% political tactic. That is what it is. And that's why these kids are being used. Because even if they agree that there ought to be more gun control, they do not realize how they are being used and exploited. And that happens a lot. I have a mission statement from the so-called March for Our Lives, or what I like to call the Days for Our Days of Our Lives March. And it actually put out as their mission statement. They went out of their way to make sure that they said that it was created by, inspired by, and led by students across the country. Nonsense. Utter nonsense. This was a world rally. Do you actually think high school kids paid for those exotic buses? Celebrities gave millions. Obviously, people who politically agree gave millions, gave their private planes. And it was another spectacle, orchestrated, coordinated, and putting kids on display to use them for sympathy. The left loves to make their spokespersons these bulletproof from criticism people. So here's the mission statement. School safety is not a political issue. School safety is not a political issue. Well, but guns are, but they don't want to talk about that. There cannot be two sides. To do everything in our power to ensure the lives and futures of children who are at risk of dying when they should be learning, playing, and growing. Who do you think wrote that? So now there's not even allowed to be another point of view about taking away your guns. Do you think that they really want to repeal the Second Amendment? Take a look at this. Former Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens wants to repeal the Second Amendment. He stepped down and retired in 2010, and the ultra-conservative, I jest, Elena Kagan took his place. Barack Obama appointed Elena Kagan, who could be certain to vote exactly the same way as John Paul Stevens. And here's what he says. Overturning that decision, oh, this is the Heller decision, by a constitutional amendment to get rid of the Second Amendment would be simple. Oh, this is a, I'm sorry, I'm just flabbergasted, but I'm not. You have somebody that served as a Supreme Court justice who took an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Bill of Rights, but he wants to repeal at least one of them. My guess is he wants to repeal a whole lot more, because the only reason the Second Amendment exists is because the First Amendment exists, or the other way around. So all those rights go together. There's a reason it's number two. Speech is number one, and the only thing that protects free speech in a free society is people, law-abiding citizens who are not afraid of their government. Their government should be afraid of them. I know you've heard this cliche, but it's an important one. When people are afraid of their government, you have tyranny. When the government is afraid of the people, you have liberty. Very important. So here is a former Supreme Court justice telling the truth about what he really thinks. Think he could have gotten approved as a Supreme Court justice if he had said at the time that he thinks the Second Amendment ought to be repealed? He says it would be simple. And then it would do more to weaken the NRA's ability to stymie legislative debate and block constructive gun control legislation than any other available option. These are the same people that abuse power, that have shown that they cannot be trusted with power, that have corrupted our system, weaponized our government with nameless bureaucrats, and they want us to believe that we should just give up our law, our constitutional right to defend ourselves, and they'll take care of us. Does anybody really believe that? I'll tell you who believes that. These kids that are marching to have their own rights taken away, they believe that. They believe that. So what else do the Women's March and the March this weekend anti-guns have in common? Well, it has in common the same organizers. I promise you, you will see the exact same organizers, the exact desire to register voters, legal and illegal, the same desire to get large lists. I went on that site and I could tell that a lot of it is a voter registration drive. And I've got to say a little more about, let me find it first real quick. The Me Too movement. Okay. And where is it? I can't find it in my stack of stuff. Sexual harassment. There it is. I just think there's a local case here in town. That's what I was trying to avoid. That there is a local case here in town of in several jurisdictions that there's a memo that seems to be going out. I haven't seen the memo, but I'm surmising that there's a memo going out that these same organizers of the Me Too movement and all of that are going after state legislatures all around the country. If you're living in a state where your duly elected representatives are now under attack for sexual harassment and sometimes the most nonsensical sexual harassment charges you've ever seen, please know that that isn't accidental. In Colorado, there was a state representative who the story came out that he was guilty of sexual harassment. And 4 hours later, the state, his direct supervisor, I guess you could call it, who was Speaker of the House, happened to be a Democrat, who was asking her own fellow Democrat to step down because he'd been accused. Now, there hadn't been any investigation, mind you, but just merely that he had been accused meant that he should step down. Now, this gentleman was not very willing to step down without a fight, and he decided to take a lie detector test and to write a 28-page, what was being called in the media, a manifesto about why he was not guilty. And you know what his own Democrat caucus called him? They said that he was retaliating. So now you have elected officials, and people would wonder, well, why would a Democrat go after a fellow Democrat? Well, oddly enough, it was the accused fellow said that it was because he didn't vote the way they wanted him to on guns. Colorado has been inundated with new gun laws that were instituted during the Obama administration, and it was proven that the president and his administration were calling local representatives a real assault on the separation of powers and limited government, a complete assault. And they were calling them, and of course they love their president and its people in their own party, to vote for stricter gun laws, things like limiting magazines and things like that, which a U.S. House representative thought that if you just limited the magazines, they could be used up. There's sound about that. Her name is Diana DeGette, and there is a video of her actually saying that, well, it's okay if we just limit them because eventually people will use them up and there won't be any more. She didn't know that a magazine is something that holds bullets, is not the actual bullet. Now, I'm not an expert on guns, but I know that. So we have the most ignorant among us telling other people what they can and cannot do about guns while they drum up hatred and demean the gun. It's the gun's fault. If you demean and hate the gun and you make sure people are afraid of the gun, then anybody who dares to have one is evil. That's the strategy. It's so obvious, right? So I'm going to wind this up because I'm almost out of time. But getting back to the state representative, he was expelled without due process. I don't care about this particular state representative, but he was expelled without due process after 100 years. There hadn't been a duly elected state representative who had been expelled from the legislature until a couple of weeks ago in Colorado history. And the person that had been expelled for bribery. Now we're calling a little untoward activity, which was never proven, as tantamount to bribery. Now here's the kicker that I'm going to leave you with. I found a case in Arizona that was almost identical. And there was issues around guns too, which is just creepy. What does guns have to do with sexual harassment? You wouldn't think anything. And yet all of a sudden they bring guns into it as if somebody's somewhere's got a memo out saying, you know what? Go after sexual harassment, the Me Too movement, and guns. In Arizona, there was a representative, a Republican this time, whose name had the unlikely and the unfortunate name Don Shooter. That's his name, Don Shooter. And he didn't take it lying down either. And he wanted to fight as well. Well, they were hell-bent on removing him, regardless of whether he was duly elected by his constituency. And they voted to remove him. Interestingly, the headline that I read said that Representative Don Shooter was stripped of his gun and his state house seat. So before they voted to get rid of him, they demanded that he give up, that he relinquish his gun that they knew was in his desk in the state house. And when asked, the Speaker of the House, I guess, said, well, I know he isn't dangerous, but I wanted to take his gun anyway. And he gave it up without a fight. So there's something a little off, something a little questionable going on. Everybody's getting the same memo. You know that the left is very much into collectivism. They want groupthink. They want everybody to be thinking alike, and they want to demonize you if you dare to disagree. So be on the lookout for these things, because I guarantee you, this is what they're pushing. They want mothers in suburbia to be afraid for their kids and to hate their husbands and to hate Donald Trump. That's what it's about. It's about the next vote. That's what it's about. So keep being skeptical. Keep looking for what's going on out there, and I'll be back next week. If you'd like to join me, or to comment, you can go to my website, www.KarenCataline.com, Facebook/KarenCataline, Twitter @KarenCataline. Thank you to Doug, my producer, to BBS Radio, and to HW, the multi-talented guy with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when there will be a whole lot more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.